Okay, good afternoon. I think we are going to start. Thanks for coming to the session, evaluating policy change for population-based obesity prevention efforts in Latino communities. We are going to have in this session two different communities that were awarded the grant from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009 that provided funding to carry out evidence-based clinical and community-based prevention and wellness strategies to deliver specific measurable health outcomes that address chronic diseases related to obesity. In response to this initiative, the Health and Human Services developed the Communities Putting Prevention to Work, and is administered by the Centers for Disease Control. This is just as a background so you have a better idea exactly who was funding this. The goal of the program is to reduce risk factors prevent or delay chronic disease and promote wellness in both children and adults. The nationwide CPPW application process resulted in the selection of 50 cities in March of 2010. And those cities are implementing this community putting prevention to work program. A number of cities with large Hispanic population were selected among the awardees of this monies. And the goal was to provide environmental changes in the areas of obesity and tobacco. This session and what is going on, for example, in San Antonio and Pima County, is focused exclusively in obesity prevention and their related chronic diseases issues. This session brings together evaluators from the Pima County in Arizona, and I will be introducing everybody in a little while, and San Antonio, Texas, CPPW grants, and they will present an overview of the CPPW obesity prevention approach and identify models that have informed the evaluation process for these two majority Latino communities. The objectives of this session are to identify common themes in evaluation of broad-based policy change efforts. Number two, to explain significance of meso-level municipal structures in policy change. Number three, explain how population health strategies are translated into planet policy change. And the last objective, describe models for evaluating policy change and community-based disease prevention. And I have here to my left Dr. Jennifer Shaw. She will be doing the first session. Dr. Shaw is an assistant professor at the University of Texas School of Public Health in San Antonio, at the San Antonio Regional Campus, and she's the co-investigator of the CPPW evaluation in San Antonio. So Dr. Shaw is being kind of the front person in this initiative. Then we have Jennifer Hickson, third there. And Jenny is a doctoral candidate in community health practice. Jenny manages the day-to-day activities for the San Antonio CPPW program. She's in charge of all to carry on, sort of the manager, if you will, of this initiative, and so it's has deep knowledge and of what is going on, all the activities, of course. Jenny received her MPH from Tulane and maternal and child health promotion, and she this year 2011-2012 she was awarded the maternal and child health fellowship from the University of Texas Health Science Center School of Public Health. Then we have Rebecca Drummond. Rebecca is the program director for family wellness at the University of Arizona College of Public Health. She is the co-principal investigator of the CPPW evaluation in Pima County. And last but not least, we have Jen Baldock. She's an MPH student at the University of Texas School of Public Health, San Antonio Regional Campus. Her studies concentrate on health promotion and behavioral sciences, as well as chronic disease prevention, specifically related to nutrition and physical activity. So Jen is also engaged. She's a graduate assistant in the program, and she's working simultaneously in her studies and thinking about her thesis, as well as on a day-to-day activities of this program. For the past year, she has also an active member of the UT School of Public Health Student Association. since she started, actually, she's a very active person in the Students Association. And in 2008, Jen received a Bachelor in Sciences in Public Relations from the University of Texas at Austin. So she has been also instrumental in the areas of communication and for this initiative, which it really requires a lot of PI, et cetera. PR, etc. So I will stop here, and Dr. Zambrana will moderate the session. So first of all, Dr. Shaw is going to do to present the first installment, if you will, and I will let you do the click because I'm not sure if I am going to do it right.
Okay. And thank you, Dr. Rojas. As she mentioned, we'll present sort of a large overview of sort of what CPPW was, the communities that were selected, and then specifically Rebecca and I will split the first section and just sort of give you an overview of some of the questions and challenges as we develop the evaluation framework for this study. As part of APHA, we just want to say I have no relationships to disclose at this time. And again, the national overview of CPPW was that there were multiple strategies, realizing that we needed to really look at systems change as we looked at obesity efforts. And so it was looking at how we can mobilize communities, how we can use existing resources, and really strengthen capacity of the states. And the sort of large-scale objectives of this was to increase physical activity, improve nutrition, decrease obesity rates, and decrease in smoking prevalence, teen smoking initiation, and exposure to secondhand smoke. So again, the CPPW program in and of itself was two-pronged, both tobacco and obesity. Today we'll be focusing specifically on the obesity section of this program. So here you have a map of the states. Initially, there were 44 communities that were funded. They added some additional ones, and so it was a total then of 50 states or communities. The ones in the green were the ones funded. I've put the website on here for you. So if you want to read about the specific activities that are going on, you can do that at the CDC website. As you can see, it ranged from, again, East Coast to West Coast and in the South. And I believe that some of the other states did have initiatives going on or did submit applications, but again, some states chose that even though they weren't funded to continue those efforts. So as part of the CPPW program, they really wrapped program strategies around the MAPS framework. And so the MAPS was specifically what can we do in the area of media, what can we do in the area of access, what can we do in terms of point of purchase or promotion, what can we do in terms of pricing, and then social support. So again, CDC had a broad range of strategies that were listed in here that went from how do we promote healthy foods and drink choices to controlling advertising for those. I know just an article came out 2 days ago about how beverage companies are, again, specifically advertising to teens, which we know was equivalent to some of the strategies that the tobacco industry used. So how do we put regulation or control on those advertising? As well as how do we make healthy foods available, maybe making incentives for purchases of healthy foods, looking at sodium reduction and those kinds of things, as well as signage of what's healthy, what's not healthy. And then again, in terms of social support, looking at maybe breastfeeding policies or other things. In terms of physical activity, specifically how can we look at active transportation and safe routes to schools, built environment. Strategies are big and require a lot of a policy intervention, and so they talked about how we could look at the infrastructure surrounding schools and then zoning and sidewalks and parks. Specifically in the school setting, how could we increase physical activity through a requirement of PE? And then how do we reduce screen time in daycare settings and others? So really was a systems approach of prevention. Again, We know that obesity is a complex problem that needs comprehensive solutions, but also as we engage in these strategies, we need to be creative in our evaluation efforts to make sure that we are, in fact, making a difference, especially when I know for the city of San Antonio, we received $15.6 million. So this program was the largest single investment from the Centers and Disease Control. So again, if we're spending the money, how do we make sure that we're being efficient with our dollars? So as Dr. Rojas mentioned, the real emphasis was on policy, systems, and environmental change. And so if we think about that, at least in the socio-ecological model, we know that that's at the individual level, that's at the community level, the interpersonal level, as well as the municipal or policy level. And not just looking, again, at the home environment or the school environment or the built environment, but really the interplay between all of these. And so as we thought through the evaluation strategies, we had to say, how are we going to measure success at each of those levels? And so, again, with CPPW being such a large scale and so many interventions, you know, we had to think about collaboration and how do you measure collaboration in terms of looking at non-traditional partners. Jenny Hickson will talk about some of the non-traditional partners or the bringing together of different people that we had in San Antonio. And then again, how does that overlay with our evaluation framework? As well as, again, this was a two-year program, so again, the stimulus money gave us 2 years to make an impact. So from an evaluation perspective, if we're talking about BMI, do we really expect to see a reduction in BMI in 2 years? Or are there other process or outcome indicators that we could use to say, again, in this short amount of time, what impact are we having? And then also looking at the sustainability piece of that. So again, a large amount of money, a little bit amount of time, but how do we make sure that that's long-term change? And so again, those are just sort of difficult questions if you think about it from the evaluation standpoint of what tools, what surveys, what kind of methodology are we going to use to ensure that we have the information needed to guide future funding and future programmatic decisions. As Dr. Rojas said, we do reside in the San Antonio community, so I'll just briefly talk to you about the CPPW project in San Antonio. The official name of it is Find Your Balance. So you'll see here that the logo reflects both physical activity, nutrition, and the kind of universal symbol there in the upper left-hand corner of San Antonio, which is the missions. So I don't expect for you to read this, but we had some pretty lofty goals. And we're getting there with them. But we had, again, I think if you think from a project's perspective, there may be one or two things that you're trying to achieve in a traditional clinical intervention, or maybe one or two things that you're trying to achieve in a community setting. But here we were saying, okay, we have five domains. We're going to do things from create a bike share program to creating more sidewalks to, oh, by the way, making a nutrition intervention, salad bars in schools. So again, we had like 31 some odd initiatives as part of this. And so that really creates a what do you prioritize in terms of evaluation and how do you, again, in a short period of time, make sure that you're assessing that. So the framework specifically for San Antonio included five major health behavior theories or theoretical constructs. The built-in environment in terms of the five E's, so that is how are we encouraging it through signage, how are we using our law enforcement, again, to make sure that if you have speed areas or so forth that you're making sure that that's not a barrier to physical activity. We also looked at the socio-ecological model, as I said earlier, and what are the impacts across all those levels. Social cognitive theory in terms of we have walking groups that were part of this initiative, as well as some other initiatives that looked at peer modeling and those kinds of things. So again, how are we making decisions at the individual or interpersonal level? Also, diffusion of innovation. And we have a big social marketing and another diffusion of innovation in terms of looking at unique opportunities for using existing resources. So again, our constructs kind of went across all five of those. And then again, we were looking at overarchingly, does it come from acceptance of what we're doing to implementation to actually engaging? And so that community engagement piece. We have the old saying, if you build it, will they come? So it was kind of one of those things of, yes, we could do it, but are the participants, are the residents, is there community buy-in? What are our event numbers? And then also attainment of the goal, which is, again, this lofty goal of reducing obesity in 2 years. So just quickly, and you'll hear more about this as we move along, our evaluation process included monthly reporting, primary data collection, and that could be inclusive of key informant interviews or intercept surveys or other methods, focus groups that we were looking at for specific initiatives, remembering that we had five blocks, and each of those had multiple initiatives. So, you know, again, prioritizing and looking at what specific initiatives we wanted to do an in-depth evaluation on. Looking at secondary data analysis and document reviews. Again, at one time we proposed to look at school wellness policies, but then realizing just how many of those there are in the city of San Antonio, we sort of scaled back that initiative. And also, I think in terms of parks and recreation, looking at observation, so actually going out and doing observation counts and that kind of thing, there are trail counters and they're using other things and innovative, as well as personal stories. We do have Facebook, Twitter, and every other social media, so how are we able to gain some of those personal successes that we may not capture in the evaluation process? So just quickly, before I hand it over to Rebecca to tell about Pima County's overview, all of that is to say we are putting some boots on the ground, so to speak. We are making some headway in terms of getting the salad bars in schools, using our park system to offer free classes. Again, in the bottom, they're starting walking clubs, having a Provita logo, which indicates healthy menu options in restaurants and farmers markets, and again, large-scale cycling events like Ciclovia. So again, Jen Boldick, later in the presentation, we'll talk about our challenges that we faced having those large-scale initiatives or large-scale community interventions. But that just kind of gives you an overview of sort of, we did have a framework, we are trying to assess, we did have to prioritize, but we're doing it. So with that being said then, I will turn it over to Rebecca.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank the San Antonio CPPW evaluation team for organizing this session and collaborating. It's always nice to have partners in other places that are sharing your misery. No, just kidding. That are sharing in all the fun. Let's see, where's the clicker? So my name is Rebecca Drummond, and I'm on the evaluation team for... Wait, how does the clicker work? The red one? Okay. Oh, down here. Okay, thanks. I don't have any disclosures, or my disclosures that I have no relationship. So I'm going to just talk a little bit about the maybe some differences, too, with Pima County. Pima County is the large purple county at the bottom of southern Arizona. It's on the border of Sonora, Mexico. And it actually is a very rural county. Tucson is about half the population of the county. And I don't know if you can really see it in this picture here, but right in the middle of the whole county is the Tohono O'odham Nation. So we are very rural, and we also have a large tribe. It's the second tribe in the second largest tribe in the country. We are predominantly Hispanic county, and about 28% of the population is speaking another language at home, which is probably Spanish, could possibly be O'odham or an indigenous language. So the Pima County effort really is countywide. That'll be something kind of interesting, one of our evaluation challenges. I know the theme here is urban, Latino urban communities, which Tucson would be considered, but our mandate is to intervene, provide services and outreach in the entire county, which includes Ajo, which is way out here on the western side of the county, the tribe also, and then some urban sprawl outside of Tucson. A little bit of how the grant is organized in terms of teams and how it's influencing the way that we try to evaluate. It's always very interesting with these federal grants and your community action planning that everything appears very integrated. But I've been doing this for about 10 years, and at the end of the day, you end up tracking and tracing what individual agencies and their scopes of work are all about. And it's really hard to disentangle yourself from tracing the scope of work or the action plans of individual agencies and really look at things in a comprehensive way. But to just outline that a little bit, we have support teams, which include a food systems team, which is our community food bank. And our community food bank does have a farm, an urban farm out in Marana, and they do a lot of community gardens and food security and farmers markets. We have a built environment team that's Jockman Institute that is from the University of Arizona. We have a media team that's mostly being managed through the health department, who is the recipient of the grant, and a consulting group. And then we have a policy team. The PI for the policy team actually was one of the main writers for the grant application. And then the evaluation team is also with the College of Public Health. So they're more support kind of countywide efforts. And then we have what we're calling place-based teams. And we had a lot of discussion about what does place-based mean, because I had a different idea in my mind. But this was sort of the way the grant was structured. We have a neighborhood team, which is pro-neighborhoods. They're a very grassroots organization. They have a very different process that has been challenging to working on a federal grant. Schools and Youth is led by a team at the University of Arizona and the United Way, and they're focusing on school structure and implementing coordinated school health, and then after school, and then child care. So child care, which is 0 to 5, and then also out of school care after school. That's the United Way. Work sites, YMCA is doing some business wellness, and then we have a faith-based team, which is Carondelet, and they do a work site in health and human services, and then they also do the faith-based piece, working with promotoras de salud. So that's the structure of the interventions, if you will. And when the grant began, one of the most important things about the way that this was proposed was to have centers of wellness, and that they were going to have 15 centers of wellness. And we also grappled a little bit with what did that mean. And originally it kind of came from the schools team, and they were talking about schools being centers of wellness and integrating with the community around it. Later on, we ended up identifying about 15 geographic areas that were going to be target areas in the county, which had some special considerations, like we needed to be in every supervisor district of the county for political equity. And basically, they were supposed to be communities of disproportionate risk for obesity, and that definition in the end becomes low SES and high ethnic concentration, because those are some of the only indicators we can find. So I'll talk a little bit more about that. As an evaluation team, we were pretty beholden to this idea of these focus areas based on low SES and high ethnicity, because this was the only way that we were able to evaluate and state that we were dealing with health disparities. And then these focus areas, again, making sure we're in every county supervisor district, the inset here is kind of shows you where the different target areas are. And like I said, this actually addresses urban, rural, and tribal. And this actually, interestingly enough, the Tohono O'odham and CELS, which is the capital of the nation, it's kind of right in the middle of the whole thing, isn't circled, but that was a target area as well. And then San Javier is a piece of the Tohono O'odham Nation that kind of is out in the Tucson area, so it's urban, and they are urban Indians, but it's all part of one reservation. Back to the framework, Jennifer talked a little bit about this. The first diagram here, this graphic, came from the CDC's recommended community strategies and measurements to prevent obesity, and it was an implementation and measurement guide. This kind of is what one of the challenges with community work, in the sense that traditionally we've been looking at education of people and individuals, and then hopefully maybe a sustained intervention that might address their behaviors, and then we never really approached it from the systems level. So this could be challenging depending on what kind of organization you're working with. And then also looking at the task force for community preventive services and the role of public policy, where we're looking at social determinants of health that many of you are familiar with. And this sort of intermediate outcome is, I think, what this project is trying to address in terms of living conditions, developing the capacity of our agencies and our individuals. And I think a lot of what ended up being used in this grant is a lot of training and capacity building. And then the ecological model for health promotion interventions. We were trying to locate those two ideas and the maps of strategies somehow in this model, where basically the policy and the media were in the broader arena, and then some of our team-based strategies were in the kind of organizational interpersonal area. And that's the approach. I think I'm going to talk, well, these are the evaluation questions we have, and I'm going to actually talk more about the evaluation process in the next presentation. So one of our questions is, how do locally driven efforts to bring multifaceted strategies, resources, and connections to communities impact environmental and systems level factors related to nutrition and physical activity? How do locally driven priorities and achievements influence broader policy and systems level change at a district, a city, a county, a state, or a federal level? So this is kind of interesting when we talk about local. You know, sometimes I want to think about a neighborhood level, but sometimes we might be talking about local government. And so at a neighborhood level, when do their priorities and needs influence local government change or efforts to make local government changes? And then how would that in turn affect federal? So we're kind of doing top down and bottom up. And how does the process differ in different settings? These are just examples. Rural versus urban is one of our questions we're dealing with in Pima. Schools versus communities, for example, so organizations or institutions versus a broader community or neighborhood. Then what are key factors and barriers that influence successful development and implementation of policies aimed at changing environmental determinants of risk factors for chronic disease? And then finally, how do different combinations of strategies affect implementation success? And what is the role of social capital in sustaining CPPW activities on at a community level? So those were our proposed evaluation questions. And I think that's it for this one.